the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. All right, everybody. Great Monday podcast. Matt Mosley, he's been covering the Cowboys forever down in Dallas, will join us in about 10 minutes. Let's start by talking about the most head-scratching coaching move I've ever seen. So something that's pretty obvious. It's almost like, as a dad with my kids, I tell you how mature I think my kids are by the responsibilities I give my kids. That will tell you which kid I trust, which is good with money, which kid's good with responsibility. All kids are not the same. NFL coaches will tell you what they think about their quarterback's judgment and their quarterback's ability by their play calling. So Brandon Staley is the new coach of the Chargers. They go for it regularly in their own territory on fourth down because they have this immense trust in Justin Herbert, a 4-2 biology major, huge arm, great talent. And he's a kid, right? He's a kid. And that really, he's 8-1 in his last 9 games. And many of those have been decided by Herbert making big, late down plays, often on fourth down. The Cleveland Browns' Kevin Stefanski is telling you what he thinks of Baker. So the Chargers' offense is red hot. The Browns lead by 1. It's 3rd-and-10. And they run the ball right into the line. You've got to be kidding me. So you're going to give Justin Herbert the ball back around midfield with his weapons at home and plenty of time. And he has roasted your defense for most of the day. I mean, again, if the game was 7-3 and you trusted your defense, I found it absolutely head-scratching. Kevin Stefanski, a really brilliant schematic coach, good with clock management, can't conveniently hide behind, I just couldn't see the clock. That's Mike McCarthy's excuse. You can't use that one. That's an indictment on Baker Mayfield. I mean, would you, on 3rd-and-10, do you think Brandon Staley runs that ball? Andy Reid with Mahomes, Sean McDermott with Josh Allen, Bruce Arians with Brady, Matt LaFleur with Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy with Dak? Hell no. That's an indictment, and they're concerned with his judgment. And then, by the way, and I'm not trying to pick on him here because I thought he played mostly very well, and I picked Cleveland to win close. But then Baker gets it back and checks down with no timeouts, is running down, and he's checking down, throwing 6-yard completions. Then he is left with 2 or 3 Hail Marys at the end of the game. And you're never going to get a pass interference calling a Hail Mary. Refs, it's like the last play of an NBA Finals. Refs are going to swallow the whistle. Refs don't want to decide a game on a Hail Mary. Doesn't matter who bumps into who. So Stefanski is telling me what he thinks of his quarterback. Now, we know that Stefanski prefers, I mean, we know this from their games together. He prefers to manage Baker Mayfield. 27-32 throws. We know that. That's not an opinion by me. Baker plays better with a lead than trailing. Baker plays better managed than left to his own devices and judgment. But you know, and I know, of those two quarterbacks on the field, the Chargers coach has far more trust than Justin Herbert, who will go for it on fourth down, and Stefanski wouldn't even really, quote, go for it on third down. On the road. You played a win on the road. Remarkable. Something else that jumped out to me. Steve Ballmer of the Clippers, David Tepper of the Carolina Panthers are very much modern day owners, tech and hedge fund guys. Those are very aggressive industries. It used to be car dealers could own pro sports franchises. Customer service, loyalty, patience. But in tech, very fluid, ever-changing. The aggressive win. Same in hedge funds. So Steve Ballmer is hyper-aggressive. Build a new arena. Go get Kawhi Leonard. Go get Paul George. Go get the right coach. And David Tepper, we've seen from his early acquisitions, is going to do the same thing. So they are making judgments on Sam Darnold week to week. They're not going to announce this privately, but I thought Darnold's pick against the Eagles on their final offensive drive was a really bad one. He threw a couple of picks against the Cowboys. One was just a great play by perhaps the best young corner in the game, Trayvon Diggs. In fact, there's no question he's the best young corner. The question is he the best corner? Now, in fairness, the Carolina Panthers O-line is egregiously bad. It's a bottom 3 to bottom 5 offensive line. And Christian McCaffrey's not there. But that's why You make decisions on Sam Darnold in situations like that. And I thought that was a really bad moment for Sam. And I've backed Sam. Is it a cognitive situation where he doesn't read the defense fast enough? Is it his slow release where he doesn't get the ball out fast enough? Either way, Matt Rhule has the pressure of a hyper-aggressive owner. And I can assure you, they're going to have Sam Darnold conversations this week. Something else. Both the Jags and the Raiders had very poor performances. Urban Meyer and John Gruden had very bad weeks. Regardless of what I think or you think about a coach's remarks, opinions, or actions, it generally comes down to what the locker room thinks. Dave Wannstedt has told me this for years. You can lose a game. You cannot lose a locker room. I thought the Raiders were completely flat. Didn't get some officiating breaks. I'll acknowledge that. But let's get out of that space. Every fan thinks their team gets homered. The Raiders were completely flat. And the Jags got pounded by a very ordinary team with a litany of injuries, the Tennessee Titans. I think Gruden probably, regardless of my opinion, I thought his remarks were ugly, inappropriate, and certainly I would have no problem with some suspension. Urban Meyer's actions I thought were childish and tone deaf. But for the Jags to get blown out by a pretty mediocre team, I'm going to keep my eye on that one. Because of the viral video out on Urban Meyer, he's eliminated himself from many jobs in college football. Married man, at a bar, too much to drink, flirting around. He's eliminated himself from lots and lots of college jobs. You can cross him off the USC list. I don't think he's going to bail on the situation. But again, the question is the locker room emotionally going to bail on Urban Meyer? Keep your eye on it. It was a disappointing performance. The Sharps in Vegas really loved the Jags this weekend. I didn't. It's like betting the Jets. I can't. Betting the Jags. I don't have the stomach for it. But I think the Jacksonville situation is a real tinderbox. Urban probably, in my opinion, goes back to broadcasting at some point. All right. We saved the Cowboys talk for Matt Mosley, ESPN Fox Sports. Doomsday Podcast. By the way, the Volume has signed Matt Mosley. I am announcing it right now to a contract. I am going to have Matt Mosley at my disposal for almost as much as I need him, which is often because I think this Cowboy team is for real. And Matt Mosley makes me laugh and think. And those are my two favorite qualities on people. And I just love your work. And my friends love you. And I am so happy that you're going to be part of the Volume. And we'll talk about this more and more. But, you know, the high regard I hold you in. And for the record, I only have cocktails with friends. And I poured a cold one for you, my friend. So delicious.
Can you tell me exactly what that is? Mm. What, I mean,
Grey Goose rocks with a touch of grapefruit. Oh, Mosley, it's so good. Man, it's so good. Listen, I know Daniel Jones got hurt, but, you know, my wife was in the culinary business, Matt, for a long, long, long time. Her son's a chef. He's a terrific kid, great chef. And my wife's dad owned a lot of restaurants. My wife's a brilliant cook. And she always said, you eat with your eyes first. That's why there's no blue food. You eat with your eyes. The plate has to look the part. And I always trust my eyes first. My eyes are telling me this is the best Cowboy team in 10 years. I think they're fast. I had a real problem, Matt, before the season. I said they were paying too many good players great money. But by hitting on two draft picks, Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, the books make more sense to me now. They're paying some old linemen, Zeke, Dak, a top receiver, and a pass rusher. That's what you should pay in the NFL. And as I watched them play the Giants, even though Daniel Jones got hurt, I felt they were controlling the football game. I don't think it was nearly as close as the score indicated. And I don't think I'm being over the top here. They look the part. And I don't know who I trust in the NFC. I don't trust the Packers and the Buccaneers right now. I really don't.
Yeah, it's sort of exciting to think about. And you can imagine what this place is like when the Cowboys are really good. And there's fake good, they're, and you could even hear it in Aikman's voice. Jimmy, right after the game, was trying to say, and he confused the whole set. He was trying to say that I think he was hinting that they might be good as the 90s Cowboys. I don't think he totally went that far, but I think he was leaning that way. And by the way, to be a part of Volume, we started talking about this like a year and a half ago.
Yes,
and
we
I was
did.
One of the first guys you talked to. And then you went and hired like 28 other people. And now you've brought me on. So I'm very excited about it, by the way. But to your point, there is something that seems way more believable about this team. And again, we can poke holes in anything. Go, well, wait, Carolina, they just got beat again. Or this team or the NFC East, they're going to beat up on some bad teams. And that is true. But I think you're right. Sometimes you have to trust your eyes. And there are some things about this team that sort of feel dominant. And the old Cowboys, what would happen is something bad would happen. An interception, a fumbled snap when you're deep in an opponent's territory. And the rest of the game could be colored by those plays. And now that doesn't seem to be the case. And they seem to be overcome adversity. And one of the things that was made clear on that broadcast, and you and I have, I think, were the first, let's claim that we were the first to sort of bring this up. They've been missing a lot of players.
Yes.
And that's the biggest difference in this team. They'll start to get some of those players back. But this thing went fine when they were three or four players down. And in the past, it's like, oh my gosh, there's no way they can function without this guy and this players and this starter at right tackle. I mean, think about that. Years ago, they would lose Tyron Smith, for instance.
Yes.
And they might go out and give up seven sacks to one guy. Like, I think they got the guy from the Falcons a new contract several years ago based on one game. So we're seeing this. So, Colin, I mean, I agree with you. I've seen – now, I think it's too early to compare them to, like, the 90s Cowboys and all that business. We'll leave that to the hype artists. But I think you can seriously say this team has a shot.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. Their only loss is Tampa, and I think I would submit to you they outplayed Tampa. They have not had a bad game. Green Bay has, Kansas City has. Buffalo had a stinker early against Pittsburgh. The teams I like have all had a bad game. There's only a couple that haven't. I think the Chargers have mostly been the same team every week. They lost to Dallas, but they've been the same team every week. And the Cowboys. And the Cowboys beat that Chargers team. And it's interesting because they beat Cleveland now. And Cleveland's a top 5-6 roster. So let's go back to the Charger game for a second, because we know once Mike Glennon came in, the Cowboys are going to win this game at home. Let's go back to that Charger game. And we often do this, Matt, where the season goes on and then we go back and go, you know, that Week 5 game or that Week 6 game, that team is way better than we thought. Go back to the Chargers game. I felt from the very beginning, Dallas was the better team. I thought they were the only team. Do you know Justin Herbert's won 8 of 9 games? The Cowboys are the only team that have beaten him. They gave him some trouble. You go back and look at that Chargers game and how well they're playing. They went to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs. So take the Giants game out of it. That game to me is like, okay, they outplayed the Super Bowl champs on the road and they beat the Chargers on the road. This is a real football. I mean, go back to that game. I thought they were clearly better than a very good Charger team.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting? I wish you would stop rubbing it in with those long pores. Look like a heavy pore you have there. But you and I kind of do the same thing. We go back to certain games in the NFL, in NFL history, and that Tampa game might be something we end up going back to. And it almost had a, you know, the one I always go back to is at the end of that regular season where the Patriots looked like they were going to have the perfect season and the Giants gave them an unbelievable game, even though the Giants didn't have to play that thing straight up. And it gave the Giants all this confidence and everything. And the Buccaneers with the prestige and everything that Tom brings to that team, the Cowboys should have won that game. They had the turnover margin And now I think that game, it's weird to say the first game of the season, but that game, in a sense, a loss has helped catapult them. And I think it gave them tremendous confidence. And I think, as Troy talked about, and I think he recognizes this, is this team in the past, we wonder who do they feed off of? And there's absolutely no doubt that everything comes from this quarterback. And he's unflappable, and even when he makes mistakes, but now they have a killer on the other side of the ball. And that's really something that we're so used to. We're trained to say in the NFL, oh, they have this great Aaron Donald, this great pass rusher, this defensive. We're trained to say the greatest players are these pass rushers. It's rare that we say the greatest player on a team or on a defense is the cornerback, because there just aren't that many great ones in the league.
Yeah.
And it appears the Cowboys have one. Now, you can get on to Garrett or the quarterbacks for the Giants and go, what in the world are you doing throwing at that guy? But yeah. The ease, I mean, think about that. Whether it be Revis, whoever we want to compare and go, Richard Sherman, whoever. And Sherman came out today and said, he's the defensive player of the year. Diggs right now is the defensive player of the year.
Yeah, I agree.
But Colin, you always sort of trust your eyes and talk about like how athletes look or the speed. And when you watch Diggs play the ball, those are the things you're talking about. There's a natural, there's something that's happening that just not many guys have. And he has it.
All right, biggest game of Week 5, Monday night matchup, Colts and Ravens, and FanDuel Sportsbook's about to make it even bigger because FanDuel's given new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the NFL week right by winning $150 in a $5 bet. I'm going to go with the Ravens. Lamar Jackson has won 80% of his games as a starter. I do not understand the doubters of him. I think he's a wildly dynamic player and is a significantly better passer of the football, even on later downs, than people give him credit for. Listen, FanDuel Sportsbook is the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe, fast payouts. Plus, here's the thing. When you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. Sign up now, promo code Colin this week. Before the Colts take on Baltimore, you could win $150 in a $5 bet. Remember to use the promo code Colin, C-O-L-A-N, so they know I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Red Line is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. Listen, so much of this league, I mean, it was a bizarre Sunday. 11, 12 PATs missed. Head-scratching decision by Kevin Stefanski on a 3rd and 10 to run it and give the ball back to Justin Herbert. There was some really weird coaching. There was some really bad special teams play. And it's really popular and easy. I say this about Twitter. It's easy to join the avalanche because nobody wants to get buried by it. It is easy to bury Mike McCarthy as a talk show host on Twitter. You'll get no pushback. But let's be honest about this. Andy Dalton was almost 500 last year with McCarthy. This team is playing really spirited, good football. Yes, the clock management is weird. Andy Reid's clock management before Mahomes was odd. That's something apparently, that's something coaches, maybe you need a mathematician somewhere on the sideline. But I still contend it's mostly, if you have a great quarterback, we don't talk about your clock management. Nobody talks about Andy Reid's clock management anymore. He just goes for it, you know, instead of, you know, marginalizing a situation. But we can talk about McCarthy, but Dan Quinn's a very good hire. He has a say in personnel. The last couple of drafts have been pretty good. Where do you think, I mean, in Dallas, when you do all your work in Dallas, he's a bit of a punchline nationally. But Dallas hasn't had a stinker in a month and a half. There's something there with him.
Yeah, I think there's something that's connecting with the players. Garrett's voice had obviously gone stale with not only the fans, the players, and everyone. I think they like him. He's not a good speech maker. You saw it on Hard Knocks. But I think one thing he did that Garrett had a hard time. Garrett was embarrassed years ago when the play calling was taken away from him. The one thing nice I can really say about McCarthy is he comes in here. You would think he was being hired for his play calling, and they say, no, we got a boy wonder here. We're going to Kellen Moore. You should let this guy. He's really good. And you know what? The guy said, yeah, that's cool. I'll do it. I thought it was weird that they would bring this guy in, and he's known as a play caller, and yet he seems comfortable with it. And like Wade Phillips, for instance, was not comfortable with Jason Garrett because he always knew he was the heir apparent.
Right.
This guy is, they all have egos. This guy has thicker skin than most. But what you said about Quinn, I mean, you know, they just gained so much more credibility on defense. He gives them that, you know, they're offering a lifeline to him. His career had hit this dead end, and all of a sudden, think about what's going to happen at the end of the season if they keep rolling. Somebody's going to give him another shot. Somebody's going to give Kellen another shot. Now, again, that's going to be tough on the Cowboys because they're going to lose some really good coaches. But that's how good a job they're doing right now. They're headed toward everybody coveting their head coaches. And last year, Dan Quinn had become a laughingstock with the Falcons.
That's
all
right.
Those late game kind of things.
Right.
And yet he's regained this much credibility. You can either, there's no better place in the world to lose credibility or gain credibility than the Dallas Cowboys. You don't, there's no in between. There's no, oh, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. You're either great or you're out. And again, that's one of the cool things about covering this team.
Yeah. It's funny. I for years, I think I was viewed as sort of a Cowboy hater. Skip Bayless, obviously very pro Cowboy. But my takeaway was I would say the same thing every year. I think they'll be pretty good because they were always pretty good. But, you know, I think we do have to give Dallas credit in a couple of things. They found Dak in the fourth round. They built the best offensive line in the last 15 years in the league. That Dallas offensive line is going to have 2 to 3 Hall of Famers. They have a bevy of wide receivers. Cedric Wilson's making plays in a time now that wide receivers are the running backs of the 70s, 80s, 90s. They have found an absolute lockdown corner. And, you know, I've said this before. I tend to be a pivoter. Like, I don't own any opinion. I'll move off anything. Is the Cowboys sometimes are too insular. You know this. I love Charlotte Jones. I think Steven's really capable. Sometimes they need an outside voice. You start looking around at some of their decisions in the last 2 or 3 years with personnel. A lot of them are panning out. You know, we say what you want. A lot. Dak maybe make a little bit too much money. Zeke's a little overpaid, but Tony Pollard's free, essentially. Is when you cover them like you do in the market, do you sense a respect for the football operations part? We know the branding part where Charlotte's great, right? But how do you, if I took 20 people like you in the market, how are they viewed operationally, the football side today?
The marketing side, as you say, so, you know, most people probably see them as geniuses.
Yes.
I'm hurt that you didn't mention Jerry Jr. You're not giving him his due. he's in there too. Let's get him mentioned. The football side, yeah, I think we're so trained to doubt them.
Yes.
And to scrutinize everything they do that it's hard to sort of accept, oh my gosh, they're getting a lot of this right.
Yes.
Now, you have to remember that a lot of this stuff looked kind of weird for a while. The Gregory went forever without playing. So
yes.
For the longest time, that looked like a poor decision. Now it's like a great decision. The guy's right. really, really good.
Yeah, and
so these
well.
Things change. Jalen Smith, weird decision, good decision, bad decision. You know, it's like all over the map. Now, but I wanted to give them credit for something. On the football side, what did they do the other day? And maybe this is Quinn. I don't know who to give. Maybe it's McCarthy. We can decide who we want to divvy this up to. But they kind of thought, you know what? We kind of like this Jabril Cox. We kind of like Keanu Neal. Curse. All these guys that can get in the box. Jalen's okay. He's a good leader. The teammates love him. But because of some financial reasons, because he wouldn't sign some stuff, they just move him on out.
Yep.
That's hard for Jerry to do because Jerry bet on this guy. We can like come up with some crazy surgery. And Dan Cooper, we love our medical staff and we'll get this thing right. And in a sense, he wants to believe this was an incredible, and in some ways it is an incredible story. But somebody said, Jerry, we need to get this guy on out of here. And then who, and we didn't make a big deal out of it for a decent reason today because Daniel Jones got hurt on the play. And it was a yeah. scary, weird injury. But who yeah. hit him? Who hit him at the line? That was Jabril Cox. That's yeah. a fourth round pick up there. And again, it wasn't a dirty play because on either player, Daniel Jones lowered his head and was trying to bowl his way into
That's
the
right.
end zone. And
right.
that linebacker took him down and he did what yeah. he was supposed to do. And that was a really sad, weird looking injury. But the reason that guy was on the field making a big play at the goal line was because Jalen Smith's gone. And they're going to eat the rest of his whatever. I mean, you know, he'll get that $9 million or whatever guaranteed. Yeah. And he's double dipping with the Packers. And, you know, in the past, Jerry would have hated that. He may still hate it, but he did it. So I guess what I'm saying is give him credit. The part I give him credit for is listening to what we would call the football people.
Yeah.
And Quinn or McCarthy or whoever, and Will McClay's pretty good personnel man. So
yeah.
they are insular in a lot of ways, but they also listen. They also listening. Now, do they get too attached to people?
Yeah.
I mean, they let Zeke stare them down, and it cost them. They put enormous money in the running back position, but it doesn't matter right now, does it? Because he looks great and Pollard looks great. And I mean, you know, they'll deal with that down the road.
All right. The game itself. I know once Daniel Jones is hurt, it's a whole different ballgame. I thought Dallas controlled the first half. This happens in football all the time where you can clearly see a team is better than another team, but they fumble in the red zone. The game doesn't quite work the way it should. I didn't have a lot of doubts early. I felt Dallas had the juice today. Did you?
Yeah, yeah. I think when it's the Giants, we're trained for extremely weird things to happen in this division. So the old wounded tiger theory, where people that have covered the Cowboys a long time maybe give those division rivals a little more than most people would.
Yeah.
And the Giants have been known to do some weird things. They just came off a victory over the Saints and hang around a little bit. Cowboys tried to help them a little bit. But again,
yeah.
it's kind of like I said, this team's sort of unflappable. And
right.
they had some bad stuff happen. And then what do they end up winning? 44-20. By the end of the game, it's just a laugher, you know, and everybody's, you know, got pick sixes all around.
Right.
This is what they did is something they haven't done in the past. What they did is get a nice chunk of this schedule and go, okay, we survived those first two games. Got
yeah.
a nice win over the Chargers. 1-1, feeling pretty good. Maybe should be 2-0, but 1-1. And then you get this nice little, Carolina's okay. Panthers are okay. Well, they just took care of everybody and have kind of rolled. And so this doesn't feel as fraudulent as some Cowboy runs that I've covered where everybody goes crazy.
Right.
It seems to have more substance to it. And that's because there are more people around like Quinn and Kellen. And again, let's give McCarthy some credit. And one thing that you and I both talked about a few weeks ago, we're not hearing about goofy special team stuff. Part of that,
yeah.
they're not having to punt a lot, but he's kind of listened to the critics, I think. And the the John Fossil show has settled down. And I really think they heard your theory about I like that one you threw out there about those guys are always trying to kind of prove themselves and do tricks and all that kind of stuff. And the USC guy you brought up and
John
all
Baxter.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I think I kind of like that. You know, I made fun of you for it, but I kind of enjoyed talking, and they do have kind of a court jester as their special teams coach here. And I think McCarthy may have said, hey, why don't we just do some normal stuff?
Right.
Well, and of course, they listen. Might be okay.
Matt, they listen.
Yeah.
People do. That's the way it works. This is Matt Mosley's first paid appearance. I was very happy with it. And this is all it takes. You're done. This is it. It's over. That's it.
Yeah. I guess nobody mentioned to me the paid part. Is that
by the way, go get yourself a cocktail, man. Brother.
I've got more podcasting to do, but man, it's fun to be a part of this. It really is. And I love the volume. And I fear that there's not going to be room on that artwork, but even if you just kind of like, I don't know, just like me up waving up in the corner or something, just get a little like something, some little Mosley presence. Listen, it would be, yeah.
We're starting to make revenue now. At first we were a mirage, then we were a company. We're pulling in some revenue now. We are going to be eventually able to meet the standards, the revenue standards, which you have set. And those are goals that are attainable. And I think sooner than, but we just wanted you in the camp because I love you.
Okay. It's great to be in the camp. And I would like to look at your books and make sure everything.
All right, buddy.
Okay.
See you, man.
Okay. Good night.
All right, Maddie. All right. That's Matt Mosley, new member of the Volume. Rate, review, subscribe on Instagram, follow us on Twitter and the YouTube page. You can watch all of it. Talk soon.
The Volume.